Random thought. How important are looks to you? And I'm asking this because there's a story, I think out of Copenhagen, I think sort of this one, this young lady lives, and she is 31 and, you know, has unibrow mustache, but because of the social norms of how, you know, people expect women to look, she's got really frustrated with it and decided, you know what, I'm going to stop, you know, plucking my eyebrows and stop shaving my mustache. And so now she's getting some looks for the wrong reasons. But then also she said that it's helped weed out guys, that, you know, she doesn't want to date a guy that's only so focused on looks. And so when I read that, that's what I wonder, like, how important are looks to you? If you remember way back when, decades ago, when you were single, I know it's been a long time, so you might not remember, but how important do you think looks are in dating?
First of all, if she doesn't have any money for raises anymore, just say that. Don't come up with this cockamamie bullshit, okay? I don't want guys, you know, checking me out for my unbelievable beauty. You look all right. You ain't all that. All right. She's okay. Don't get it twisted. But how important it looks? I mean, let's be honest. You know, we always like to say, oh, looks aren't everything. They aren't. But they're still important, right? And they're important for a number of different reasons. And we all know that, because you got to be attracted to the person you're with. And sometimes you'll see somebody or meet somebody that you're not initially attracted to. And then certain things about them just make you attracted to them, which is how ugly men like you and I end up with beautiful women, right? It's our wonderful personalities. But the other thing is that at the same time, you'll meet some beautiful women or women. You've come across some attractive men. And then you had a conversation, but it's like talking to a door. So, I mean, looks are important. Are they everything? No. But this woman using this as an excuse to get her unibrow on, you know, her Anthony Davis on, and also to grow out her mustache, which I'm very jealous, okay, because hers came in pretty thick, long strands of hair that it took me years, decades to finally get, okay? So I'm very jealous, first of all. But two, she's attracting men, and it's not because of her conversation. It's because that's what they're attracted to. And the question becomes, what happens when she decides to give one of them a chance? He goes, hey, where's the penis?
You know, I look at it two different ways. One, I applaud her for not trying to fit within a stereotype and do what works for you. You know, you don't have to. I think there's a lot of pressure on women to look a certain way all the time. And honestly, I think that pressure is more from other women than it is from men. You know, I've never looked at someone, I'm not interested because your fingernail game isn't right, or you don't have this, or you're not wearing this type of outfit.
If it's all chipped up and stuff now, that may be a problem. I mean, it's like, if it looked like you were digging in the backyard.
Right, but I'm just saying, I've never, you know, not been interested, but I think that's more a pressure that other women put on other women. But I applaud her for taking that stance. And to each their own. You know, there are men out there who might like a woman with a unibrow and with the mustache. Great, you know, so go after that target audience. For me, though, looks are, yes, I got to be attracted to you. And to your point, there has to be some good conversation game, and you got to be smart and all these other things. But I look at effort, right? And so if I look at effort as a sense that you care about how you present yourself. You know, if you think about it, you are your own brand. So when you leave the house, how do you present yourself? And if you chose to live a life where you look like you don't give two fucks about how you look, I'm not interested, because then I just wonder, like, what's your house like? Are you clean? You know, is your car like... There are certain people who just don't care. And I feel like when you have that I don't care attitude about your looks, that spills over into other aspects of your life. And so, and I could be wrong. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't get a chance to get to know the person, because I'd see this look and I wouldn't be interested. So kudos to her for going against the social norms. But
be honest, on the other side of the spectrum, for those who care too much, you're probably not going to be attracted to that either, you know. They put on, you know, pounds and pounds of makeup. You can see the different layers because, you know, you're one race in your face and another on your neck. like, what the hell's going on here, Michael Jackson?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't definitely wouldn't be attracted to high maintenance. You can look at some of you like, you look a little too high maintenance, and that's not all that appealing. And there are certain guys that want that particular type of arm candy when they go out and about. And great, you know, go for whatever you want to look for. But I think looks are important to an extent. I think some people put too much focus on looks.
Yeah.
In the dating world. And it's not so much looks like, I'm thinking like just some of the basic stuff. Like a woman is saying she's 5'2", but she wants a man who's at least 6 foot. Like that kind of stuff is ridiculous. Cause you meet somebody who's 5'8" and they're awesome, can treat you special. And you're like, he's a really nice, he's a great guy, but he's not tall enough. It's ridiculous.
Hey, 4 inches is a lot. Okay.
That's what she said. but I think some people put too much in that. You got guys that put too much emphasis on, you know, breast size, you know, butt, you know, hair,
complexion, you
know, complexion.
I only date Redbone.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut up.
Complexion. Now, I'm in that category because there's video footage of me talking about I don't like girls with hair as long as mine. Mm-hmm. I have an issue. I'm not attracted to it.
That's not a complexion issue. That's just a preference. I don't want us to go to the same barbershop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it okay if she goes to another one?
Yeah. We're gonna get couples massages and couples fades.
Hey, think of the money you've saved, though, man. I mean,
but if I go every Saturday, is she gonna go every Saturday?
Yeah, she might go twice a week.
Make 12:30 appointment. And then tell the barber, yeah, can you go ahead and take care of my goatee, and can you get hers too?
Oh my God! Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rue,
and I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, about facial hair. We are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, episode 71. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment.
You know, I saw this one pop up, and I really kind of thought about you because this story here says the CEO of an Arizona software company has an unusual approach to staff retention. You know, because we talked about this just the I think one or two episodes ago, the Great Resignation, right? Americans leaving their jobs in droves. I think November was the peak of it, and you see that still happening. Well, he's offering a $5,000 bonus for new hires to quit 2 weeks into their jobs. And I was like, okay, explain to me why this works. What is, so you're going to hire me and then offer me $5,000 to quit in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I was like, okay, what sense does this make? And as a hiring manager and someone who does hiring for, I've hired people, but I don't do it for a living, right? You do. What sense does this make? Make it make sense to me.
Sure. And this isn't a new concept. Zappos did the same thing. And the thought behind it was you look at how much your cost per hire is and what it takes to attract, hire, onboard, and train somebody. And then for them, the new person, let's say in the first 30 days, they're like, this really isn't the right place for me culturally. Might not be the right cultural fit. You realize I don't really like this manager. And so you're going to do average work while you're looking for another job. And so then for the employer to say, hey, after 2 weeks, I'm going to give you a $5,000 bonus to quit if you want to quit. They save money because if you quit within that first 2 weeks, great. Here's your 2 weeks pay and $5,000 bonus. They won't get unemployment. It doesn't bring a negative impact to the business. And you can go on to find somebody else compared to having somebody sit and not be happy and say, acting like they're working, especially in this remote world that we're living in right now. You know, because you have cases of people that are actually working two jobs, 8 to 5, and lying, you know, but they're making the money because everybody's working from home. So I think it's a smart decision. And I think what that does for the company, it makes you have to put a lot more emphasis on how do you onboard people? How do you get them trained? You got some companies that, you know, your first day, hey, how you doing, Yanni? I guess you can sit over here. Do you have a laptop yet? No? Okay. I'll get with IT. So just kind of sit and hang out, read this handbook. And like, there's no real onboarding. There's nothing to really get you engaged into the company. And so I think it's not a bad move.
I get it now. If you say somebody's going to slack off on the job and then you end up firing them, then of course now that unemployment does add up after a while, so I can see where that is. But 2 weeks in, if I don't pass up on this $5,000, as an employee, am I more likely to stick around for at least a year because I passed up on that $5,000?
It's possible. I mean, I'd have to look at what they're, how they're tracking the data, right? So mm-hmm. you might say, when do we lose a person? So do we lose people in the first 6 months? Do we lose people in the first year? Is it by year two? And so if you realize you're losing a lot more people in that first year, I think this is a great tactic to try to get the right people that are actually going to stick. But you also got to make sure you're doing a good job of how you're going to onboard them, train them, and support them to make them really want to get engaged into the company. It's one thing about teaching them how to do the work. And ideally, you're probably hiring people that are smart and can already do the work. You just got to show them how to do the work here. But then getting them excited about company culture. And that's what helps them stick.
You know, it's funny because it's in this day and age where people say, well, the best way to keep employees is to pay them more. It doesn't mean they're going to work better or work harder. It doesn't matter what you pay somebody. If they're not motivated, they're gonna do what they're gonna do anyway, right? It's like somebody who, and I'm sure you've seen this a number of times, somebody who's in a position that they don't necessarily want to be in, and they want the next position, and they feel like, I deserve to be in that next position. But you're doing this job half-ass. Why do you think I'm gonna give you a more important position if you don't do this one properly? Like, you gotta show me you can do this, because no matter what, you say you want that, but I give you that. And what happens when you get that? Now you want the other that. Mm-hmm. And now you want more money because you said, oh, well, I wanted this much more. Okay, you got it. And you're like, oh, I'm still being underpaid. Regardless, every employee is always going to feel like they're underpaid.
Well, true. But then I would challenge that with what's going on right now in the economy with hiring is mm-hmm. so many companies have increased their wages and what they're offering to pay that mm-hmm. person that you feel is not qualified at XYZ company to move up to that next level, another company will offer them that. And so you got people leaving to go for more money. Even they could be doing the exact same job, but you know, company X is going to offer them $20,000 more. All they came at you for was a $5,000 raise. And you said no. Now company X is like, hey, well, our starting pay is, you know, 80,000 and you're making 60. So get over here. And they're going to mass exodus. They'll start heading over to the place that's going to offer more money.
I'll be honest with you. Actually, it's funny. I had a conversation with somebody about this a little less than a year ago. I've been making this amount for this amount of time. I'm just asking for a raise. How much do I ask for? I said, don't ask for exactly what you want. Ask for more than that, first of all. Because whatever you ask for, they're not going to just give it to you right away, right? Because mm-hmm. if they give it to you, you're going to be like, son of a bitch, I should have asked for more. So go ahead and ask for more now, right? But the other thing is, because you've been in this position for this amount of time and you're still in this position, right? They're not going to see it as beneficial to them to increase that by, you know, by 50%. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll get that. You may even get double if you leave, right? I'm not mm-hmm. telling you to leave, but you may get an offer from outside for more. And they may counter offer and give you that same amount, but just you talking to them, they're not going to do that. So those folks who are getting these offers here, and you've seen this too, you're in a position. Do people see you as in now as what they saw you as when you first joined the company, and that's where they keep you, or do they see the value? And is it okay to have to leave? And I think that's where people get a little nervous. I don't want to leave. No, you got to walk out of that security blanket to make the money you think you want to make. You've got to step outside of that comfort zone in order to do it, because sometimes it does take leaving to come back and make the money that you should have been making anyway.
Mm-hmm. It does, you know, and that's the gamble that I think employers take. But, you know, I like the approach that the CEO is doing, and I'd love to see how that works out for him. And I don't know if the article, if this applies to all employees or to a certain mm-hmm. level, you know, of employee. But I think it's smart in some ways. So I'm curious to see what it does for him. But you're going to have a lot of people that start a job and then they realize they don't like it. I've done it. I've started a job. And when I got in, I'm like, oh, crap. Like, I thought I did my research. And now I'm like, well, I got two options. I can make this work and turn this around and make this be one of the best places I've ever been. Or mm-hmm. I could look to leave. I don't like to quit and just kind of run from stuff. And so that's the choice I made. But you can get into companies and you realize I made a bad move. How do I get out? And so they're giving you an opportunity to realize, hey, you feel you made the right choice for yourself? Great. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Welcome aboard. If you want out, take this money. Sign this waiver saying that you're not going to sue us for anything or whatever.
Yeah.
Sign this non-disclosure agreement and go on about your day.
$5,000 is a lot to a lot of people. Some people may actually take that $5,000 just because.
Well, true. It's like, look at all the people that went to go work at these companies that were offering $3,000 sign-on bonuses after the first 30 days. And what do you think happened after the first 30 days? Out.
Yeah. I kind of, you know what? Now that you put it that way, I kind of like this approach better. That's a great point. You know, I saw this popping up over the last couple of days. You know, Trump rally, big announcement coming. I was like, uh-oh, what's this announcement going to be? And then silence. And just before we jumped on to start recording, I really started looking to see, okay, what was the big announcement? I was getting to politics as usual. And he kind of soft launched his 2024 campaign. Or is it really? Because it doesn't really sound like he's saying yes, he's committing 100% to running in 2024, but I'm definitely not ruling it out. When he was on OAN and calling out Ron DeSantis indirectly saying,
well, I've taken it. I've had the booster. Many politicians, I watched a couple of politicians be interviewed, and one of the questions was, did you get the booster? Because they had the vaccine. And they're answering it like, in other words, the answer is yes, but they don't want to say it. Because they're gutless. You got to say it. Whether you had it or not, say it.
He was definitely talking about DeSantis.
Mm-hmm.
But in this weekend, he just kind of said, you know, all the major talking points. He didn't lose to Biden in 2020. He'll spend the next year working to elect Republicans who agree. This is not news. This is the Trump we knew for the last how many ever years?
Right. Yeah, and I think the one thing that he said, which leads me to believe that this is his soft launch for 2024 bid, is like we made America great once, and then now we're going to have to come and do it again.
Yes, that very
and
much
so
sounds like it.
Yeah. I can't imagine that he's going to say we're going to do it again, but he's going to trust someone else to do it better than he thinks he could do it. So that led me to believe that this is his kind of soft pitch of we're going to have to do this again. I can't imagine him saying he's going to endorse someone else to take point on that.
So is it going to be MAGA or MAGA? Because make America great again, again.
No, make America great again, the sequel.
Oh,
it's like, you know, Matrix. Make America great again, resurrection.
The funny thing about it is that he even came out and said, like, the real insurrection took place during the election on November 3rd. I'm like, stop it. You know, the fact that he's still pushing this narrative and people actually still believe him, it's almost unbelievable. But we're living through this and we see it.
Well, here's what I'm hoping, that we get to a point of transparency, because what the 2020 election, I think, did, it, you can have the result and all it takes is the other candidate to say, this is rigged, it's fixed. And now there's no real transparency. It's hard to really tell. And so you have all these different investigations that have happened that haven't pulled up anything. But then you got the conspiracy theorists that say, well, of course they didn't pull up anything because they're getting paid under the table. This is all a lie, a sham. There has to be some better way that we can do our voting process where there's transparency to the people to actually see it. Because if that's the case, if he runs in 2024 and let's say Biden is the Democratic nominee, Biden, they say, hey, this was rigged. And then now you're going to have a bunch of liberals saying how, oh, this is not real election. It was all rigged. And we'll just go back and forth, you know, every 4 years.
They kind of did that when Trump beat Hillary, because at the end of the day, yeah, he lost the popular vote, but the electoral, a college vote, he won. Right. So therefore.
But that's the rule.
And that's the problem. It's whenever the rule doesn't suit you, you want to change it. And I understand the whole thing about, you know, packing the court, the Supreme Court, because now there are many more people than there were back then when this was put in place. But, you know, it's an interesting dynamic, because whichever side you're on, if your side is not taking advantage of the rule, the ruling doesn't favor you or benefit you, then now it's time to change it. And when the other side wants to do it, It's the same thing that Democrats have said about Trump when he says everything that he said about Obama, that he turned around and did it was good now. It's the same thing Democrats have also done to Republicans. So it's because everyone is so left or right.
Mm-hmm.
And the those of us in the middle are like, yeah, well, y'all are both crazy as shit.
Well, and that's just all it's going to be. So it's going to be this type of mess until we get to a point where there's some type of transparency. Else, if he loses in 2024, he could lose the popular vote. He could lose the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. He'll still say it was rigged.
Of course. And he set that up against Hillary because he knew he was going to lose. He had a Trump News Network actually advertising ready to launch that. And then because he said the only way I lose is if it's rigged. And he fucked around and won. And he's like, well, oh, shit, I got to actually go run this country. OK, let's go. The whole thing is, I am with you. I do believe this was a soft launch of his 2024 campaign because I can't see him really endorsing DeSantis since he's already started knocking him down. He hasn't gone after your guy yet, but that's coming soon. And when he goes after Ted Cruz, I'm going to smile just a little bit.
I will enjoy every bit of that. And I think Ted Cruz is just going to take it because that's just the kind of coward he is.
Take that.
Yeah, it's the kind of coward he is. So, you know, when things get too hot in the kitchen, he runs. And when things get too cold in Texas, he runs. So
so he's just a runner.
Yeah.
So he's a runner. He's a track star.
He's just a runner. But he's not going to go against. I don't think he is going to go up against Trump because he doesn't want to lose Trump's base. Look at how that conversation he had with Tucker Carlson, and Tucker Carlson brought him on the show to make him backtrack mm-hmm. what he said about January 6th. He had to do that so he can still keep the Trump supporters that vote for him. And so yeah. I can't see him going against Trump. But if it does happen, I'll have my popcorn and watch all the negative things that Trump is going to say about Ted Cruz. I'm sure he'll bring up Cancun at some point because no one's letting that go. And I'm hoping that the Texas listeners that we have also keep that in mind. And when we get ready to go vote for Senate, vote him out. And if he still makes it into Senate and tries to run for president, we definitely don't want that to happen.
I will say, well, actually, I will ask. If they both end up running for the Republican nomination, right? And, you know, Trump is good for his merch. And he comes out with a Lion Ted shirt. Are you going to buy it? I know that's so wrong for me to ask you that.
Yeah.
Because hold on, no,
hold up. I won't buy it, but my gut tells me that my dear friend CJ will buy me one and send it to me, and then I'll wear it.
So you'll wear it. You just won't spend the money on it.
Yes, I don't want to spend the money on it, but I'll wear it, but I don't want to spend the money on it.
What if underneath it says Blacks for Trump? Will you still wear it then?
No, I'll just cut that part off. I'll be like Ezekiel Elliott, just with the little half shirt.
Oh, Jesus, please don't. Oh, my God. You know, the bad thing is, I agree with you. I think if Trump decides to run, Ted Cruz is going to have to run anyway, just because he's going to want to get his name out there more and make sure he's ready for the next time. But again, if he doesn't win the Senate race, then he has less of a real chance of even making an impact in the Republican race. Right. So, Texas, it is up to you. It is up to you to do as Terrell has been asking, begging, imploring you to do for months upon months upon months upon months to please get out there, vote, tell everyone you know, get out there and vote and vote Ted Cruz out. Unfortunately, Texas is going to Texas. Texas is going to Florida. Texas is going to Flexus. He'll be there and we got how to listen to Lion Ted. But the good thing about that is I can't wait to see you in that shirt.
Speaking of bullshit, like Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz's middle name, Ted Bullshit Cruz.
Yeah, we got this article in the rgrtpod@gmail. And mm-hmm. this is another group of people losing their minds at the airport. I still don't understand why people do this and why they think that, you know, going ham at the airport is a good decision. It's not. So Delta Airlines, the reason why I don't fly Delta, mm-hmm. on the Southwest not, but Delta Airlines, right? This group of women were going to Puerto Rico and their flight was delayed for about 4 hours. So what do you do when your flight's delayed? You go to the bar. And so allegedly they had 9 drinks. Don't say what kind of drinks. Were they doing shots or whatever?
And it doesn't matter. It was 9.
But 9 drinks in a 4-hour period. I mean, I could pull that off and be fine. But
you think?
I'm a professional. So they try to go get on when the plane's going aboard. They try to get on. And they are just obviously hammered. One woman could hardly even stand up. They were just a mess. And so, of course, flight attendants don't let you onto a plane when they think that you are highly intoxicated.
Of course.
So security officer comes and they're not letting them on the plane. These women start going off, yelling, da da da. They take the radio off the security officer and hit him with it. And they start beating him down. The flight attendants are trying to help the security officer, trying to pull him away from these ladies.
Oh my
these God. Women grab him, bring him right back, and just keep beating him, stomping on his head.
Get back over here.
And then so the flight attendants are trying to come. They call for the police. They're trying to help. The flight attendants get hit in the face. They get punched. These women wind up getting arrested. And I'm just thinking, why do people still think this is wise that to do that? And how drunk do you got to be that you can't get onto a plane?
You know, alcohol is a hell of a drug. Okay, first of all. And there are folks who abuse it just way too much. I don't, even in flying first class, I'm not the person that sits there and takes advantage of drinking while flying, right? And I get it. Some people do. And if it works for you, great. But know your limits. And I say that being one of the people who's never thrown up from drinking, right? Because my body just goes, that's enough. And won't let me drink anymore. Right. But there are people who can't, and they're angry drunks. You know, the fact that these folks got on this plane and decided to lose their minds. I'm just glad that I haven't been on any of these flights where these people have lost their minds, especially when I was traveling with my little one, my wife and my mm-hmm. little one, because I'm like, baby, here, hold the baby. I got to defend our row.
Don't bring that shit over here to 7A. Don't bring that shit to 7A.
Y'all better keep that shit right there. Stay right there. Stay your ass over there. And let's be honest, the airlines, right? At what point are they going to put self-defense in the training for these flight attendants? Because they're dealing with a lot of unruly people. And yes, they're very good at de-escalating the situation a lot of times, at least attempting to. The problem is when somebody is drunk, they don't understand any of that. So you got to be able to subdue them. And where's the air marshal? You got these air marshals everywhere. You know people are traveling overseas, especially going to Dominican Republic, going to Puerto Rico, going to Mexico. There should be an air marshal on every one of those flights because you know these people are trying to take advantage of these things and get away. This is where y'all need to be. You know they've been drinking. I was supposed to go on this flight over here to Utah, but apparently this one going to Mexico, we've got a couple people at the bar that seem a little unruly. Let's go and jump on this flight instead. We need some more protection on these flights. And stop having these old-ass security guards to come on try and get people off the plane. Because they're not listening to you.
Hey, Sonny, I need you to come with me.
Well, hey, if you don't sit your old ass down.
I think what you're saying, because I don't think they should be training flight attendants how to defend themselves. Because you look at the bar industry, you know, you don't train bartenders how to fight. And they deal with a lot of drunk and unruly people. But the difference at bars is you have a bouncer. So maybe you have an air marshal to handle terrorist threats. Then mm-hmm. you have a bouncer. Their job is to sit there. They always get that front seat. And their job mm-hmm. is to sit and see who's going to come on here and act a fool. And then when it happens, it's their job to go in and throw hands. So you have someone trained. That's their job to do that. They can de-escalate it. Normally, it's somebody big. You know, so.
But that's exactly where I was about to go. You can't have a big. You've been on these planes. These planes are small as shit. Okay, that big man ain't getting down the aisle. He can't throw hands. You need somebody who can fight close quarters. You need somebody who can get in there and throw some blows.
You get some bouncers for they have to be on. You know, today you're going to be on this flight all day, flying mm-hmm. back and forth. Part of your onboarding is 6 weeks of Krav Maga training. So you learn how to fight up close, and all, if you don't already know, but at least you know some basics to be able to de-escalate a situation, and then put them on the flights. But I think you, and maybe if you look at, maybe the airlines could look at data that shows during this time to this time is when we have these incidents. If you normally don't have these fight incidents on the 6 a.m. flights, which you normally don't, right? Because, you know, who's showing up? Again, if it's Vegas, totally different. You can leave the casino and go straight to your flight. But maybe you don't have much issues there, but maybe it's that 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. is when all these incidents tend to occur. Okay, that's the shift that we put these bouncers on these flights. I think you do that. And to your point, yeah, some of these TSA folks that, you know, bless their heart, they've retired. This is just something that they do to still earn money. They can't handle some of these situations, especially when some of these people have been drunk. These rage drinkers, I call them. That's all I get. Like, I've been drinking for a long time. Drinking does not make me want to fight. I've never just been just... I'm just the most chill, nice person. I just don't understand these folks that do that. And maybe you got to watch who you travel with, too, because that's why there's certain friends I wouldn't travel with, because I know how they are. And they're the type that'll go from 0 to 100 over something small. And I'm like, I'll meet you there. We don't need to travel together.
You know, all it takes is them to run into the wrong flight attendant, the wrong desk, you know, what do they call the people at the desk? The gate attendant. All it takes is them to run into the wrong one, because one of those people are like, fuck this job. You need them to run into one of those. You need to hire one of those people every time. Just to be like, because every once in a while you have one of those. I love standing in the airport just watching people move around, and it's, you see some of the workers who are like, oh, she's about to lose her job today because she's done. she's about to say, hold up, let me get my phone.
You get somebody's, what if it's their last day? Their last day of work. They've been there 10 years. Today's their last day. All they need is a reason.
Here's one that also, right on the same thing of planes, and you tell me on this one, because the headline reads, woman outraged after reading fellow plane passenger's text message during flight. And what the text message said was, we have COVID. Shh. That's why we're returning home a day early on the plane. And you see the person taking a picture of somebody's phone in between it. Just like, all right. Is it the person that's actually there in the seat that's wrong for getting on the plane because they actually do have COVID? If that's the case, yes. Or is it wrong for somebody to be reading your messages from behind?
As we always say, both can be true. Yes, if they have COVID, they have no business being on that plane, right? Totally agree with that. But you also shouldn't be nosy reading other people's text messages. And what if she realized this lady is like, or person is staring at their phone? So maybe they just did that just to kind of rile them up and piss them off. But that's why you get those screens that kind of black out if you're certain angles. I try to have those on my phone because you just never know. I'm doing work or whatever. But you got people that want to talk trash about the person sitting next to them. So they're texting their buddy back home. This, you know, this sitting next to this dude, he smells like, you know, whatever. And that person can see it. Oh, now you got a problem on your hands.
Now he's just raising his arm.
Yeah. Like this, the entire just blowing it at you. You like that?
Oh my God. The moral of the story, mind your damn business.
Yeah. Mind your business. Or you see something, say something. Bring it up to a flight attendant if you want to, but then you're still going to wind up looking like the ass.
Don't forget, we do have our regular episodes on Mondays. The audio episodes drop on Mondays. Videos drop on Tuesday. And of course, Wednesdays, we're back to it again. Married at First Sight recaps season 14, Boston. We're finally wrapping up the weddings this weekend, this week.
I kind of hope so. It's for 7 hours. 7 hours to get through 5 weddings is ridiculous.
Well, you know, weddings do take time.
Catholic weddings. 5 Catholic weddings don't take 7 hours.
Touche. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, send us some of your random thoughts and some of your bullshit. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
No, look, cheers.
I see it. I know what you did.
One of us went to the playoffs.